looking into the history. And I was just reading this portion of scripture, and for one reason is that this portion has never been used for this Christmas season. Maybe you have, I don't know, but I have not. For my past 30 over years in the ministry, I've not heard any preaching on this particular verse. Perhaps I was not there, I don't know. But I want to take this verse for you to know what God is going to say right here. In Isaiah, in chapter 11, verse 1. Just in case if you are not familiar, Isaiah made a prophecy about 700 years earlier in regards to the birth of Jesus Christ. And it says, a shoot will come up from the stem of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. I repeat that. A shoot will come up from the stem of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. This is a Christmas message. Isaiah is saying that the Messiah will be both the shoot and the root of Jesse, and that he will bear abundant fruit, and this fruit will be the kingdom of life and peace for all mankind around the world. When I saw this message, I saw a promising prophecy. This promising prophecy, as many of us would always think about hope. And the title of the message is Hope is Here. But this hope is different. This hope is not about the hope that, just like I said to Nathan just now, I hope Tottenham Hotspur will wipe out Arsenal. But it's not a hope that we say, I hope Australia rugby team will beat New Zealand. Michael, sorry about that, Michael. No way. It's a hope. But you see, the scripture tells us the promising prophecy is not about the kind of hope that I just talked about. It's about the living hope. It's about hope that is live. Because at this point in time, the stump, or rather the tree, has been cut down. They were living in a ruin. It was dry. It's dark. It's dirty. It's filthy. But the scripture says the shoot came out. Something that is unexpected, but it came out. Brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, though we may see a bare, withered tree stump, though we may see something that is bleak and hopeless, yet when everything seems to be cut down and is left alone, like some of our lives may be, I want you to know the shoot is coming out. The shoot is coming out. When the flood covers the ground, but there is a twig that came out of the surface. When you feel that everything is gone, I want you to know God is coming with something. When you're down to nothing, He is up to something. Somebody say amen. When you and I are down to something, when you and I have been cut down, when you and I have been despised, when you and I do not see there is a hope there in the future, but God is up to something. And that is the promise and the message of Christmas. Brothers and sisters, I do not know your predicament. I do not know your condition. But what I do know, one thing, when you think you are down today, God is up to something. If you are glad, give a wonderful clap offering to the Lord. Come on, give Him praise. When you're left with nothing at all, I was so glad to know that God is up to something. You know, Isaiah prophesied these words about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And here there was a mentioning of the word branch. The birth of Jesus evidently came out. It was a humble process. Though the shoot came out, it was just small and insignificant. But the Bible says the shoot came out. the shoot came out. You know, brothers and sisters, this is one of the exceptional and the greatest Old Testament prophecy. It was a humble process because it was a stark contrast to the arrogance and the pride of the Assyrians. Isaiah prophesied and gave us this promising prophecy that the Messiah, the coming King, is coming soon. But he won't come like a big tree that comes out, but he will come as a shoot. It was a humble process. The prophecy is a prophecy of hope. There is hope. Somebody say to me, amen. It's a present hope that you and I have. It is a living hope that you and I today not only enjoy, but you can rejoice in it. It is a hope that speaks about life. It is not about a hope to change condition. It's about a hope that changes life. It is not about a hope that changes the circumstances, but it's a hope that changes your life and my life. This is the living hope. The living hope will resist all kinds of immoralities. This is the kind of hope that will resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. This is the hope that tells us the best is coming. The best is coming. We are given that hope. Where it was once upon a time a mighty tree, but now cut into a stump. But out of the stump, there comes the shoot. Hope came out of the dying stump. New life is coming out. Somebody say amen. I get excited because you know why? New life is coming out. New life is coming through. New life from the very situation or the filthy life and the problematic life. And we thought there is no more hope. There is no more chance. But I want you to know my God is a God of second chance. And there is hope for all of us. There is new life for all of us. New life is coming out from what seems dead. When you feel that everything is lost, when economic situation suppresses you to the corner and you wonder how can you survive, but I want you to know the shoot is coming out. The hope is coming out. The hope is beginning to drive the soul that is despondent, the soul that is despair. But the soul now began to lift up and say, yes, Lord, I could see the hope is coming. I could hear the bell ringing. That hope is right in our midst. Jesus Christ is our hope. Hallelujah. And I want you to know one thing. Though sometimes you and I could not see, as Romans chapter 8 will tell you so, but yet our hope is on those that what we could not see or what we could not have it yet. For in this hope you were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Isn't it true? But the scripture says, who hopes for what they already have? If you already have, what is there to hope for? Isn't it? If you have a wife, why do you hope for a girlfriend? You don't need that. Isn't it true? Somebody says, it makes sense. Come on. It makes sense. Come on. Oh, you don't agree with me? I'll pray for you. We need that living hope. There are situations that we do not have it yet, but we are all hoping. Because this is the Christmas message, a message of expectation. But how does living hope come about? Hope needs to be learned. Hope needs to be cultivated. You see, if I hope for a better life, I need to learn how to live my life as much as I hope for the better life. Am I right or not? You see, in marriage, many a time we have domestic issues and problems that could never be resolved In fact, I used the wrong word. I should not use the word never. But sometimes we refuse to resolve. It's because in the marriage where the couple live together and one tried to change the other. You see, in marriage, my principle is the same as many other speakers that you can think of or pastors that you can think of is this. It's not about changing the person, but having a changed life in yourself that will actually establish a healthy marriage. But if we refuse to change it in ourselves, then don't expect the other person to be changed. Hope for a good marriage need to be learned. Whatever that we feel that situation doesn't seem to be good and healthy, we hope for a better time. But when we hope, we need to learn to cultivate that hope. At certain time, financial commitment can be very tight. We may have some financial commitment that is tight, but yet on the other hand, we hope. We hope for freedom. We hope for the liberty. But during that hope itself, we need to learn. We need to learn to develop a change in the ways of our lives. Hope is cultivated through learning process. But as we begin to learn, my brothers and sisters, we oftentimes ask this question, how does hope come through? How does hope come through in our lives? This is a very strange thing about this Christmas. As I begin to read the whole entire nativity stories, and it bothers me that every time I see God often use the hard way to bring about hope. He always used the hard way to bring about hope. And hope, therefore, comes oftentimes through the hard way. You know, Mary had the visitation, and she, being a virgin young girl, probably at that time, at that age, about 14 or less than 16 years old, she already conceived before her marriage. That is mind-boggling. It was difficult for them. The society will despise her if they discovered. Joseph, for that matter, let alone himself, thinking about, what am I going to do with Mary? It will be hard. What would the society think? Why did God choose this unprecedented way? When Jesus was born, the entire journey was weary and laborious, difficult, hard. Baby Jesus was in an awkward and unfavorable environment. Apart from that, Mary and Joseph did not book Airbnb earlier for Jesus to be born. So it was a difficult situation. When God brought in hope, it was through the hard way. And by the way, when Jesus was a toddler, he was threatened by King Herod. You know, this is a very unusual thing. But yet, at the same time, I realize God uses hard situation as a preferred situation. Hard situation. Moses, he was used in a very difficult situation where Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Why? Look at Exodus 14, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory. Somebody said gain glory. Gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Wow. God used the hard way. Church, listen to this. God used the hard way so that he may gain the glory for himself. Crossing the River Jordan. Why cross the River Jordan during the flood? Why not wait until the waters subside? Why not go around and cross over to the other side? But why does he need to walk through the flood? Gideon, come on. If I'm Gideon, I'm just wondering why. Lord, I have 32,000 soldiers with me to attack the enemy. And the Lord reduced until he only had 300. Why make it so hard? Lord, you're making it difficult for all of us. Ezekiel, he was placed in the valley and the Lord says, look at all these bones. Yeah. Dead bones. What do you want me to say, Lord? Dead bones. What do you see? Dead bones. It's bleached by the sun. It's washed up by the rain. Bones are all scattered everywhere in the valley. That's all I can say, Lord. But you see, Ezekiel says this. You know best, Lord, what these bones are. And the Bible tells me that he breathed life into them. Why put Ezekiel in such a difficult situation? What am I going to do with these dead bones? I can't raise them up. You see, sometimes, church, you go through hard times, whether before Christmas or after Christmas. I want you to know one thing. This is a Christmas message. God preferred to use the hard way so that he gained the glory for himself. He used the hard way so that you will trust in him. He used the hard way so that you can see and say, Lord, I'm going to have faith in you. He used the hard way so that you will not walk away and say, Lord, I can't do. But he says, come to me. God uses the hard way so that you will come back to him. God used the hard way. I'm always concerned for many Christians who constantly battle and struggle over their hard situation. But do you know, church, that behind all this hard and difficult situation, there is the glory of God? Behind every of those difficult times, you may lose your loved ones, you may lose something precious to you, but behind all that, there is the glory of God. I pray today that all of us will not look at it and say, Pastor, I saw so many things in my life that it appears before my eyes as impossible. But I have a message for you. With God, all things are possible. And as you stand strong upon the word and the promises, because no matter how hard the situation is, the promises of God is taking shape right now. Are you with me? No matter how difficult your situation is, the promises of God is now shaping towards his glory. Look unto him and trust in him. The second thing that I want you to take note of is that hope is quietly hidden. Hope is quietly hidden. You know, way back, many, many years ago, recalling my childhood days, I'm one person who loves snacks. When I sit in front of the TV, I must have my peanuts or crackers or even something that is sourish, something that is a bit sour and sweet. I love them. Praise God. But you know what? My mother will keep it away from me. She's a wise woman. Yes, she is. I'll pray for you later. So this is what happened. And when I was just thinking aloud, I remember Stephanie, my daughter-in-law, said that she has to keep all these snacks away from Sean. Wow, I didn't know. It's a genetic issue now. It says keep away from us. And no matter how hard she keeps, Sean still finds it anyway. You know what? I also find it. And after I found it, I ate them and I put it back to where it was. You know, something precious that is good is always hidden, isn't it? You know, when you buy a Christmas gift, you hide them and do not want to let your grandchildren or your children see them. You know, I remember Brian wanting to get a ring for Tamara. I won't reserve it for the wedding day. I'll just say what I need to say today. And when he was preparing, he didn't want to let her know. Why? Because it's very precious and expensive. But I won't tell you the price. It's always precious. And it's so precious that it's always kept hidden without you knowing what is it. I begin to realize that this precious hope was also hidden. It was hidden to the point for ages. It was hidden to the point that nobody knows that this prophecy was about the birth of Jesus Christ. 700 years before Jesus came into this world. The Bible says, Isaiah 11 verse 1, I repeat, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. The shoot was hidden from our sight. It was hidden right in the stump. All you could see was that stump was cut off. And now it's dirty, it's filthy, it's drying up, it's withering, it's dying. For several ages have passed, that old stump that nobody cares about, nobody bothered to think about it, nobody wants to see it, there came a shoot. It was all the time hidden inside that stump. Hope was hidden in our situation that seems bleak and hopeless. But there is something inside that hard situation. There's something inside that what you call hopeless, that what you call difficult, that what you call trouble, but something inside that says hope is coming out. It was hidden, small, insignificant, but it will rise up. You see, friend, it looks like all hope has been lost long ago. A lot of God's goodness are always hidden because it is not good yet to come out. I said it one more time. A lot of God's goodness is hidden because it is not good yet to come out. You know, if you read the gospel, the synoptic gospel, you realize that Jesus spoke in parables. And he gave a lot of illustrations. But oftentimes, the meaning was hidden. The truth was hidden. Why? Because he awaits for those who are hungry. For those who are hungry will search for that meaning itself. For those who are hungry will begin to cry it out and say, what does it mean? What does it mean? Do you know when the precious things are hidden, it is meant for you and I to call upon him, to cry out, to seek after him. That's why he said, seek me and you shall find me. The Christmas message about hope is to call upon the people to seek his face today. How often do we seek God's face? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. In a version of NIV, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. There is something that you and I will be drawn to when it is hidden. But I want you to know the message today. The message of Christmas is that the precious promises of God and the hope is hidden sometimes before our eyes. But he's calling you to come close to him and cry out to him and seek his face and knock at the door and begin to say, Lord, Lord, reveal yourself. The Christmas message is calling people to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. But the problem is, many of us, when God is silenced over many things, we try to use our own ways to find things out. We try to use our own ways to discover them. How to do? How? How can I get that answer? How can I manage it? You know, being an Asian, there's one fruit I love most. It's called durian. I know Australia just produced, from the Northern Territory, they just produced durian. It's a beautiful fruit. If those of you don't agree, you need to be converted again. If you don't agree, we will pray with you. It's okay. I've been praying for Malcolm for years now. But it's coming soon. I still have hope. Durian is a fruit that will take about 10 years to grow. If you don't think that's precious, man, you have been deceived. 10 years. And when the fruit is hung on the branch, like some of you, Nauruans will climb up and pluck it out. But the Chinese who knows durian will not climb and pluck. They will wait down there at the bottom of the tree there and wait until it drops by itself. Because the moment you pluck, the fruit is spoiled. You must let it drop by itself. And after when it drops, you cannot eat yet. You got to wait for a day. Then you can open. That's how precious durian is. It's different from mango. You pluck them, you cut them, you eat. But durian, it tests your patience. You just got to wait. After it drops, you still have to wait for another day. And then, Malcolm, the aroma comes out. That's what worries me. It's called fragrance. If you guys have never tasted, you miss the blessed fruits. But you know something? Sometimes we just want to get it done fast our own way. But that's not the way. Hope doesn't need to know how. Hope simply need to know who. Our hope is not in the circumstances. Our hope is not in the time. Our hope is not in the church. Our hope is not in the church leaders. Our hope is not in pastors or apostles or whoever they call themselves. Our hope is in the person called Jesus. There is no other person but the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the hope's supposed to be. And the reason why Christians are frustrated, because we get frustrated with people who fail you. You are frustrated because your relatives fail you. You are frustrated because your friends fail you. You are frustrated because your children fail you. You are frustrated because your father fail you. You are frustrated because your mother fail you. But I want you to know, anybody can fail you, but Jesus won't fail you. Somebody say, come on, give him praise. I've seen enough. I've heard enough where people said, I don't want to go to church because of this person. He is such and such a person. He is like a donkey to me. He is like a pig to me. And all kinds of names are called. Brothers and sisters, there is only one hope that you're going to have right now. And it's only Jesus Christ. You don't go to church based on somebody else. You go to church because somebody died for you. I remember somebody said to me, I don't want to go to church because of this person. I said, did he die for you? He said, what do you mean? I said, did he die for you? He says, no. Then why are you bothered by it? You go to church for the person who died for you. Because the fact is, The church was born because Jesus died for the world, and the church was born. And you go to church for him, not for anybody else. You see, there is a man in the gospel by the name of Jairus. And Jairus is a very respected man. He was looked upon by the people. But the Bible tells me he needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. He fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. And he says, my little daughter is dying. Did you hear his request? My little daughter is dying. He says, please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and will be and live again. A respected man have no answer to the sickness of his daughter. And a lot of us today, we look around us, we think we have the answer to a lot of things. When somebody says that I have the answer, I know what to do, I don't need God, throw him into the quicksand. Throw him into the quicksand and ask him, can you survive by yourself? In life, there are situations where the Lord revealed to us that we cannot live by ourselves. We need Jesus. Jairus doesn't know how the daughter is going to be healed. Jairus doesn't know how the daughter is going to be restored. And a lot of us, we don't even know how God is going to solve our problems. I don't even know how God is going to touch somebody's lives. I don't know. I can preach my heart out. I don't know whether you are listening or not. That is not my business. My business is to declare God's word. Hallelujah. See, I don't know. I do not know whether you will be healed. I don't know whether you'll be restored. But I do know one thing. My hope is not about knowing how. My hope is in Jesus Christ. As long as my hope is in Jesus, I am connected to Jesus. You know what the Bible says in John 15? He says what? He says, remain in me and I shall remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Somebody said amen. Give him praise. Come on. Give him praise. He says, apart from me, you can never bear much fruit. Church, if our hope is in Christ, that means we must be connected to Christ. Until and unless you are connected to him, there will be no fruits. The branch will not bear any fruits. But as long as you are connected, you will see the possibility of God's power flowing through your lives. As the vine provide the resource to the branch, fruit is ready to come out. Can you imagine with me, Ezra, allow me to use him as my example. I keep him a lot for my illustration. One day he bought a vacuum cleaner. And Ezra just pull out everything and just look at the manual, and then he gets so excited. It's a new vacuum cleaner. Because he's so used to wireless, he believes it is all wireless. And he just started to use, after reading the manual, he uses it and there was no power. And Ezra gets angry. Imagine with me. I'm sure we can. And he gets so angry. He gets so frustrated. He took the vacuum cleaner. Instead of going to the shop and ask why, he got angry. He threw it onto the ground. It's a useless vacuum cleaner. I bought for so much. And now it cannot be used. And he kicked that thing. I'm just asking you to imagine, all right? So while he did all that, And then he finally got so fed up, he says, well, maybe I should ask the manufacturer and find out what is the cause. And the manufacturer saying, you dumb, stupid man, just pluck it in. Just pluck it in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just pluck it in. You see, church, that's the only way to bear fruits, isn't it true? To pluck it in. Get ourselves connected. Where is your hope? Is your hope connected to somebody else? Is your hope connected to your children? When you have your children, your hope is that one day my children is going to achieve their goals. They're going to become millionaires. And my son is going to buy me a house. Hallelujah. Your hope will be shattered. Oh, I hope Lillian is looking. I hope my daughter will marry a millionaire and she's going to buy me a big house and change my Mercedes Benz. Wow. The hope was just a dream. Dreaming, I must be dreaming. I forgot the words. I'm still dreaming. I've been dreaming for my children to buy me a car. I've been dreaming for my children to buy me a house. Because a lot of parents are just putting their hope in their kids, isn't it? We want our kids to grow up and achieve their dreams so that mom and dad will have an easier life. I tell you what, your children will grow up, they send you to the aged care. You see, that's why my geriatric members have their own house, praise God. Children can't do anything about it. But do you understand what I'm saying? Let your hope be found in Jesus Christ, not in anybody else, not in your children, not even in your circumstances, not anybody. Please have hope in Jesus. This is the message for Christmas. Somebody saying amen. Give him praise. I want you to stand together with me as I pray. Stand together and just thank God. Thank God for the message. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor. That's a good one for me. Come on. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. And while you are saying that, wish the person blessed Christmas. This is a message. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.